But first, in our lineup today, we will be speaking to Gerhard Papenfuss, who is Chief Executive at the National Employers Association of South Africa, about non-COVID-19 UIF payments. We have been receiving a lot of emails from listeners who've been having difficulty claiming non-COVID-19 UIF payments. The UIF has paid out over 11 billion rand since the 16th of April, which includes benefits to more than 2 million workers. The COVID-19 Temporary Employee Employer Relief Scheme, otherwise known as TERS, has been set up by the government to give assistance by offering special payouts to people who've been affected. This has obviously put a massive strain on the system. The Unemployment Insurance Fund has stated on its website that May applications for claims under the UIF COVID-19 TERS scheme have not opened yet. Gerhard Papenfuss, the Chief Executive at the National Employers Association of South Africa, joins us now to talk about more. We're going to be getting him on the line shortly, but we haven't got him yet. We're just going to keep trying. But the phone is apparently ringing, according to my producer. Producing the show with me today is Lynn Arensa, and our technical sound technician is Obi Sutwai, making sure everything goes out to you. If you do indeed have any questions about UAF that you would like us to ask, you can call us on 072-567-1567. WhatsApp's also to that number, 072-567-1567. Or you can call us on 021-446-0567. We received this message from a listener. Hi, I'm a consultant freelance chef with hospitality not functioning. I have no way of claiming UIF, although I have been continuing to contribute to UIF throughout my 20 plus years of work. Is there recourse for me? So we will be asking this question to our guest, who we're waiting to, if he can answer the phone on the other line, is Gerhard Papenfuss, the Chief Executive of the National Employers Association for South Africa. Later on in the show today, we're also going to be talking about the history of Woodstock's Treaty Tree. If you have any information on this, the Treaty Tree is a 500-year-old white milkwood tree on Treaty Road in Woodstock. Peace was made under that tree on the 10th of January in 1806 after the Battle of Blauberg, thereby starting the second British occupation of the Cape and leading to the permanent establishment of the Cape Colony as a British possession. But we do have our guest, Gerhard Papenfuss, on the line now, joining me. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Bianca.
How many members does the National Employers Association of South Africa have, and how many have received payments?
You know, we do a daily survey, and we do it beyond our membership. Our reach into the market, our membership is in the region of 10,000.
Yes.
Businesses, but our reach into the market is closer to 50,000.
Okay.
And we do a survey amongst all of them daily, and our current figure is that 43% still haven't received their monies.
Wow. And what is your role as a collective? You're a bargaining role player. Is that correct?
Well, among others, we're involved in the major bargaining institutions in the country, where we negotiate on behalf of employers in respect of collective bargaining matters. But we focus very much of NIASO since its establishment in 1996 is industrial relations and litigation on behalf of employers. That is our primary focus, as it was and still is, and we've got a very strong legal component. We currently have about 55 full-time lawyers representing and assisting business in all kinds of issues.
We've got a caller on the line who wants to ask you a question, but before we go to our caller, I just want to ask you about non-COVID-19 claimants. Are the TERS claimants getting priority at the moment? And are UIF officers open to handling this? Listeners are complaining that they're battling to get through via phone or email to UIF officers.
Yeah. You know, I can't say whether the TERS thing gets priority, or let me rather say, I can't say whether the other part is neglected. But what I do know is I won't be surprised if the TERS thing is getting priority, because there's huge pressure on business and on workers. I mean, business needs to get money to workers.
Yes.
Business don't have money. Unless they get that money, they can't pay. Now, our figure of 57% has been paid, I think is quite accurate as a survey can be, because the UIF said they've paid in respect of 2 million employees, but there are many more than 2 million employees being affected by the lockdown. So I think it might just be very accurate to say that half of employees haven't received any money. Now, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
You see, there's the UIF that talks about payments that's being done, and workers putting pressure on employers. You know, the notion is, you got money, why don't you pay us? You've received money well. Employers are really out of pocket in this time. You know, a survey that we've done indicated that only 6% of businesses is going to come out of this thing unscathed. 6%.
Yeah, it's a very scary number. We go now to our listener, Margaret in Parow, who has a question about how to claim UIF. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking me. I just want to find out, my husband has been getting UIF for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And last month we had a form we could fill in, the UI 6A. Where do I get another one to claim for his May unemployment?
The UI 6A. Where can she get another form? Another form, like a copy of the form? Is that what you're looking for?
A copy of a form. Right. You know, you've got to fill in a form every month and take it in to the office.
Are the offices, you mean, you usually would go, prior lockdown, you would go into the office and get a form, is that correct?
And hand the form in, yes.
Okay. So what should people be doing, Gerard, if they can't get their hands on the forms that they usually use?
You know, I'm the wrong guy to talk to when it comes to the detail.
Yes.
But what I do know is that the normal UIF function of these people losing their jobs, becoming unemployed for whatever reason, that wasn't supposed to be affected at all. Meaning that, you know, nothing has changed in respect of women going on maternity leave, people, individuals, employees losing their jobs. Nothing has changed. So I can't say why that form has changed.
No, the form hasn't changed.
That, but nothing has. Sorry?
The form hasn't changed. It's just that every month when he went to, they gave him a certain day to go in.
Yeah.
And then you just hand in the form to them to claim, and then they'd give him a new form and a new day to bring the new form, another form in.
Okay, but that hasn't happened now because of the current situation.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, I haven't got another form.
Well, you know, I think they just burdened by the current situation, and I'm guessing now, but can you imagine what they are dealing with?
Is there no online system, Gerard, for downloading forms and submitting them, or does it have to be done in person?
Well, I'm not so much, on top of what happened with employees. You know,
right.
I know the scheme broadly.
Yes.
But if that was the arrangement that you, every month you had to go in and present yourself, because in order to qualify for you, if you must be unemployed, but looking for employment, that's what this is missing. When government give an employment statistic, it means that these are people that lost their jobs, unemployed, and still looking for employment. The moment you stop looking for employment, you're discouraged. You no longer do the travel. You fall off the statistics. So what happens here? I think nothing has changed, but they are simply overwhelmed by the workloads has increased by 90%.
Now, the thing is, my husband's a pensioner, you know. So that's when he went on retirement, as he started claiming the unemployment.
Yes. Thanks, Margaret, for your call. We'll investigate further into how, we've had many calls like yours about the offices are closed due to lockdown and how people are struggling to get through on the phone. Have you tried calling, Margaret? Oh, she's gone. We've got another caller on the line. We've got Anne Anderson from Cormackie. Hi, Anne. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
What is your question?
I have a question for Gerard, which I'm sure he's had maybe many times. Yes. I have a foreign national who is my last remaining employee that hasn't been paid. I have sent proof to everybody, every email I can find, showing his work permit, his contributions, the payroll, the payments into his account, his RT3A, which is, you know, like an RP5, proving deductions, payments across to the UIF fund, with his passport number, everything, and he's turned down. And I find this very unfair.
I know that there's a problem with foreign nationals. I had the same experience in my business. We had it in the ASA. But what I suggest you do, I'll give Cape Talk has my cell number. Once this conversation is over, they can give you my number, and you can call me, and I'll put you through to our hotline to just assist you with that. Because that's happened. They haven't paid any foreign nationals. They haven't paid any of them. So that's a hiccup. It shouldn't have happened, but that is the case. So let's just assist you, and they can give my number to you, and I will get you to the right person.
Did you hear that, Anne? Just hold on the line, and my producer Lynn will give you Gerard's number, and you can follow up with your question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Anne. Gerard, we've got a listener email that came in that says, when should non-COVID recipients expect to be paid? Those who were already on UIF before lockdown began, if they cannot go into the offices. So that's the same message that our previous caller had. If you can't go into the office, how do you make contact? So that is a comment that keeps coming up amongst our listeners. Here's another one. Could you perhaps shed some light on how those of us who are non-COVID UIF beneficiaries are going to be paid, as the start of lockdown, ordinary UIF payments have not been made and the offices remain closed? No response to emails or phone calls. This has been my experience. Thank you for the show. And that's Kim. So it's the same questions coming in.
But I can't speak on behalf of the UIF, but what I'll do is to make a specific inquiry about that and try to help. So, you know, let's have another conversation just on that issue, because, you know, nothing was supposed to change.
Yes.
But apparently it has. If you look at the TIRS system, total mix-up. And it's been changed almost every day. The call center, you couldn't get through. There's much improvement. And I mean, when we started this daily survey, it was on 6%. I mean, paid. We're now on 57%. So there is improvement. I must say, you know, that if you think what they've done in a very, very short time, and I mean, you can criticize very much, and I do criticize quite often, but they've actually done very well by at least getting to the where we are. That in a very short period of time, they've got this thing going, and it actually, within this context, it's not working too bad. But what I'll do is to find out what's happening with the normal UIF the people being affected, that and I owe you an answer on that.
Thank you, Gerard. We'd appreciate that, because we have really been inundated with those kind of questions, you know, because there needs to obviously be some kind of system in place. If you can't go to the office, you're used to going in, you know, to hand your form in person. There must be another way to activate, you know, that system.
Absolutely. I if you can call it my position, I know a lot of things, but when you go just below to the second level, then I don't.
Yes.
I sound clever on the highest level. Second level, I'm struggling. So I'll find out, and when we have a chat, I'll give you the answer.
Okay, just one more question here from Kieran, who's in the hospitality industry. I actually read out his email while we were trying to get you on the line earlier. It says, "Hi, I'm a consultant freelance chef. With hospitality not functioning, I have no way of claiming UIF, although I have been contributing to UIF throughout my 20-plus years. Is there recourse for someone like me?" And that's Kieran. What happens in this instance, Gerard?
You know, if you're a sole proprietor, if you're a one-man show,
yeah,
you're a PTY Limited, ABC PTY Limited. ABC PTY Limited employs a person.
Yes.
Which is maybe this person. And he gets a monthly salary. There's no reason he can't claim, because he is an employee, that it is two legal entities. He can claim. If, however, he doesn't get a salary,
yes,
if there's a different arrangement between him and his PTY Limited, that might affect that. And that's something that he is welcome to also call me, and I will investigate and give him a proper answer.
Okay.
Or get a very clever person to give him a very good answer.
Okay, Kieran, so if you're listening, you can send us another email to Lynn, and we'll give you Gerard's number.
Yeah.
Here's another.
We need to establish what is his particular situation.
Yes. Okay, so here's a WhatsApp on the WhatsApp line from a listener. Would like to know why the full monthly payments from TERS must be paid out to the laborers in one amount. I deal with farm workers who are used to being paid weekly, and that's Leon. That's an interesting question.
Well, the regulation says that you must pay out within 48 hours after you got the money.
Right.
So that's perhaps just the answer.
It has to be a lump sum.
If you can prove you've already paid your workers all the money,
yes,
you have paid them, now you get paid by TERS, well, then you keep the money because you've already paid it to your employees.
I see what you're saying.
And there's certain documentation that you just need to present. And also in this case, I'm canvassing clients now.
Yeah.
Not what I'm doing. But you know, if a person says, "This is what I've done," and I'll just hand her over to our hotline and say, "Help her and tell her what she must do." But this is the thing: you've already paid your employee, and when the UIF turns up in your office and say, "You haven't paid the 4,000 over years, but I've already paid it in weekly installments, if you can call it that, to the employee," they'll be satisfied. But there's documentation that you need to submit to the UIF, and we'll assist that person with that as well.
Okay, got one more question. I retired at the end of last year and have all the documents to claim for UIF. I believe I have to register before 6 months to be able to claim. During online registration, I keep getting told my details don't conform to the UIF details. Can you help?
Well, you say, having retired, you know, is he in pension now? Well, that's the question.
Yes.
You know, you can't claim UIF and being on pension. If he's not fit to work, and I mean fit to work means you can't say, "I'm retired and I want to claim UIF."
Yes.
That's a conflict in terms.
Right.
I'm looking for a job.
Yes.
While I'm looking, I can't find a job there. Therefore, so a person that's retired is retired.
So you can't claim pension and UIF at the same time, which is possibly why.
Absolutely. That's why people go into UIF to declare and show that they are actually looking for work.
Right.
That makes them. That's one of the criteria of qualifying for unemployment benefits. So okay. The moment you say you're retired, that's the end of the game.
All right. Okay. My guest is Gerard Papenfuss, Chief Executive at the National Employers Association of South Africa. He is going to leave his number with my producer, Lynn. If you have any further queries that you'd like to follow up, the NEASA South Africa defends the interests of employers nationally across all industries and multiple bargaining councils. And they are one of South Africa's leading collective bargaining role players. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Gerard.